Chapter 33. You look tired, Caleb said the following morning. Are you all right? Emily scowled as she sat at the table, resisting the urge to rest her head on the hard wooden surface. She'd slept for hours. It was 7 in the morning, according to the clock. But she felt as if she hadn't rested at all. She'd had nightmare after nightmare, each one a dull reminder of how many people had died. She didn't really want to think about it, even though she knew she didn't have a choice. It would be all too easy to make a mistake and alter history, with unforeseeable consequences. She made an unintelligible noise. Perhaps it would have been better to invite Caleb into her room, into her bed. Or, she sighed inwardly, remembering how it hadn't been easy to go to sleep beside him or any of her other boyfriends. It was funny, she recalled. She'd found it easier to have them inside her than alongside her. Or, perhaps it wasn't that funny. She simply preferred sleeping alone. Caleb put a steaming mug in front of her. Emily silently blessed him as she put the mug to her lips and drank. The kava tasted foul, strong enough to make her teeth hurt. But she didn't care. No one drank kava for the taste. She sipped it gingerly, forcing herself to swallow the hot liquid. The sooner she was awake, the sooner they could begin. She didn't want to spend any more time than absolutely necessary within the house. There were just too many things that could go wrong. Thank you, she said when she trusted herself to speak. What do you want to do for breakfast? The party is still on outside, Caleb said, waving towards the window and the stone wall beyond. Brilliant sunlight streamed through the window, hurting their eyes. We can go get breakfast in town if you want, or we can eat something here.
It might be better to stay here, Emily said. Her stomach rumbled, reminding her it had been a long time since they'd eaten. But I just don't know.
She ran her hand through her hair, hating the uncertainty. It was rare for anyone to recognize her, certainly when they had no reason to expect her. Her portraits were often so inaccurate that it was hard to tell who the artists thought they were painting. Caleb wasn't particularly well known either, but she shook her head. If they went out into the town, they'd wear glamours and hope no one tried to see through them. There was no point in taking chances.
I'll cut some more bread, Caleb said. But we'll have to get more before we leave for school.
Emily nodded. We can do that, she said. We also have to make sure we take the right things without replacing them. Her lips quirked as Caleb sliced and buttered the bread, then passed her a couple of slices. Emily ate them slowly, savoring the taste. It was a very simple breakfast compared to what she'd enjoyed at Whitehall, but it was enough. She didn't need a 10-course breakfast, neither did Caleb. She smiled as she finished her drink, looking at him. He'd cleaned his shirt and trousers with magic before donning them again. We have some time to think and plan, she said, as they went back into the sitting room and sat on the sofa. She took one of the notepads. She made a mental note to ensure they took it with, and rested it on her lap. Once we get into the school, we won't be able to leave. She picked up a pencil, then sketched out a rough timeline. Her past self would be going to Laughter soon, where she would stay until she was dragged in front of a kangaroo court. Void, where was Void going to be? She didn't know. Her master had told her he was going to let her rest, to gather herself before she returned to her apprenticeship. He hadn't spent much of his time with her, she recalled. She remembered getting annoyed he wasn't joining her for dinner, let alone sharing theories and drawing up plans for joint research. What had he been doing? The conference was originally planned to take place at Laughter, she said, putting her feelings out of her head. It got derailed, then moved to Whitehall. Void couldn't have been sure that was going to happen, so he couldn't have moved to Whitehall himself until after my trial, when the decision was made.
Don't be so sure, Caleb said. There weren't many other possibilities.
Emily grimaced, conceding the point. The Imperial City had slowly become inaccessible as magic leaked out of the reignited Nexus Point. Resolution Castle wasn't big enough to host a conference. Mountaintop belonged to the magical families, Stronghold to the military. Laughter and Whitehall were the only real possibilities, and Void had spiked the plan to hold the conference at Laughter before it had even gotten off the ground. The only other option would be to hold the conference in one of the kingdoms, and that would have caused all sorts of problems. Emily doubted Alassa or Mariah would have agreed if they'd been asked to play host. He would have had to get into the school at some point, she said. He could have used my blood, or Gordian could have granted him access. In fact, her mind raced. I bet he made an agreement with Gordian just after my trial.
Gordian wouldn't think anything of it. He'd assume Void was trying to save his daughter's life. Which is just the sort of thing Void would do, her thoughts added silently. Use a small crime to cover a much larger one. She nodded to herself. Void would let Gordian think he had the moral high ground. No, that Gordian had something on Void, something Gordian could use to bend Void to his will. And he'd never notice, not until it was too late, that Void was merely using him to get into position, to take control of the Nexus point from under him. And then, she remembered the broken form she'd seen months ago and months in the future, and shivered. Gordian had died before he'd realized how badly he'd screwed up. Right. She took a breath. We have to get into the school before they hold my trial, and then we have to hide, hidden from view.
The tunnel's under the Nexus point, Caleb said. Can they be accessed still?
Yes, Emily said. We should be able to get inside. If not, we can use the Nexus point to hide ourselves within the school, perhaps even isolate a few sections from detection. She grinned at him, then started to sketch out the spell work.
It wouldn't be easy.
They'd have to convince Void he had complete control, all the while limiting his influence so he could be cut off and isolated at the crucial moment. She remembered the white flames burning through the monsters and shivered. The wildfire would make one hell of a distraction. Void would need to draw the wards back, for fear they'd catch fire. It would give her a window of opportunity to put the final pieces into place. Even if he knows I'm coming, she thought, he won't realize I'm already here. Caleb took over the spellwork design, leaving Emily to draw up concepts for everything from improved mimics to gravity wells and transdimensional portals. Void's concept was workable, although, not unlike time travel, it wouldn't be easy to ensure the portal went where the caster wanted it to go. She had to admit his solution, using her clothes and other possessions as a guide, was workable, but she mulled it over, then put it aside and concentrated on the improved mimics instead. If one of them managed to get through Void's defenses, the war would be over. He probably feels the same way too, she thought, remembering the mimic they'd encountered at Mountaintop. And the next one of his might be designed to kill. She kept going, listing the supplies they'd need and making notes of where to obtain them within the town. They were lucky they were within Dragon's Den. Anywhere else, the supplies would be either expensive, unobtainable, or likely to draw unwanted attention when they tried to purchase them. Here, they could purchase as much as they liked and no one would say anything, as long as they had the money. And she did. Her past self had already noted the missing money. She knew she'd take it because she already had. Her stomach growled warningly. We'd better go eat, she said. She held out the shopping list. Do we need anything else?
Clothes and food, and a trunk, if we don't take yours, Caleb said. Do you have one?
Emily shook her head. Not here, she said. My trunk is back in the tower. Her lips quirked. The trunk was hundreds of miles away, completely beyond their reach. As she stood and headed to the bathroom, her eyes looked tired, her face pale. She splashed water on her skin, then cast a glamour to make her look like a merchant's wife or daughter, someone too wealthy and respectable to attract attention from one side of society, yet neither wealthy nor respectable enough to be noticed by the other. Caleb could pass for a merchant easily, too. There were so many passing through the town that one more would go unnoticed. Caleb joined her as she stepped into the hallway.
How do I look?
Emily grinned. Caleb's glamour looked sloppy, the kind of sloppiness that would make it hard for anyone to take him seriously. They'd assume he was either a weak and unskilled magician or a mundane who'd hired an actual magician to make him look better, only to be conned. She supposed it would help ensure they passed unnoticed. She just hoped it wouldn't make it harder to buy their supplies. Terrible, she said. Caleb was a brilliant magician, easily her match when it came to theory and charms work. Are you hoping they'll underestimate you?
Yep.
Caleb took her hand.
If they think I'm a fool, they won't look any further.
Emily rolled her eyes, then collected her money and led the way out of the house, closing the doors and wards behind her. She didn't dare try to add Caleb to the wards, not now. It would be noticeable, and her past self hadn't noticed it. The streets outside seemed a little quieter now, as more respectable people abandoned the parties and returned to their homes to think about what would happen now the war was over. She frowned as they walked into the center of town, where the party was still going on. A handful of students were dancing among the crowds. She cursed under her breath, suddenly aware Frida might be among them. She didn't know where the younger girl had been immediately after the war. She'd assumed Frida was in Whitehall. And she knows me well enough to see through the glamour, Emily thought. If she spots us... She kept her eyes open as they found a small eatery and stepped inside. The landlord looked harassed, as if he hadn't slept much either, but waved them to a small table at the rear of the room. There weren't many customers, something that would normally have bothered her. Now, she shook her head. The party last night had gone on for so long, and was still going on, that she was sure most of the population was battling hangovers. Her lips twitched in amusement. The students outside would be heading back to the school shortly. Given that it was a weekday, they might wind up in some trouble. Gordian was that kind of man. The landlord returned, holding out a menu.
What can I get you?
Lamb shanks for me, Caleb said.
He glanced at Emily.
Same for you.
Why not? Emily had never eaten lamb shanks, but it would probably be good. Dragon's Den didn't tolerate poor cooks. And mashed potatoes, please. She watched the landlord depart, then leaned back in her chair and waited. Her body felt tired, even though she hadn't done very much since getting out of bed. The herald outside was shouting frantically in a desperate bid to be heard over the party, screaming his head off about King Simmons and his glorious victories over the forces of evil. Emily felt a stab of pity for the herald. King Simmons hadn't sent troops to the army, let alone come himself, but he was trying to steal the credit now the war was over. The poor herald wouldn't have a choice. He had to repeat the king's lies.
There'll be bigger lies soon enough, she said grimly, and the truth will be buried beneath the lies.
Caleb nodded, just as the herald started an elaborate story of how his master had taken on 3 necromancers at once, armed only with the sword of his father's. Emily heard jeers from the crowd. Taking on a single necromancer with a sword was a good way to wind up dead. Although, she supposed, the necromancer might just be surprised long enough for the swordsman to bury the sword in the necromancer's rotting flesh. Perhaps it would work. She shook her head. A newborn necromancer might be stopped that way, but Shade and Ranka would have regarded the wound as nothing more than a minor inconvenience. She'd seen them shrug off blows and curses that would have blown her to bits. The herald's voice stopped abruptly. Emily guessed someone had hexed him into silence. She put the thought out of her mind as the landlord returned with 2 steaming plates of food and a large jug of water. She nodded her thanks, checked the meal was safe to eat, and tucked in with gusto. It tasted a lot better than field rations and her own cooking. Caleb ate too, his mind clearly elsewhere. Emily was tempted to tell him they had plenty of time, but she knew from grim experience that everything would happen in a rush. They had to get everything sorted out before it was too late. They finished their dinner, paid the landlord, and stepped outside. The herald stood in the street, his body gray stone. His face was a silent rictus of horror. Emily winced as she saw the kids hurling rotten vegetables and sticks at the statue, as if the poor man had been put in the stocks for the day. It was technically illegal to hurl anything that might cause serious harm, but from what she'd heard, the law was often ignored. And it wasn't as if the herald had had any choice. His master had sent him orders. He'd had to obey. And his master might lose his throne in the next few months, she thought. She'd never actually met King Simmons, but she had a vague memory of hearing something about his kingdom being in peril. Who knows? She shaped a spell with her mind, then cast it. The statue staggered, then collapsed as the herald returned to normal. The kids let out disappointed groans, then scattered into back streets before she, or the herald, could chase them. Emily gave the poor man a quick once-over, then motioned for him to run. Whoever had cast the spell would come back, sooner or later, to see what had happened. She wondered, as they headed to the shops, who it had been and why he'd done it. Dragon's Den wasn't always a safe place for mundanes. It was worse 100 years ago, she reminded herself. The town the young Void had known had been far worse. Things got a lot better when Hasdrubal became Grandmaster.
You're a good person, Emily, Caleb said. There aren't many people who would have done that.
Emily nodded. Some magicians would have thought the herald deserved it. Some would have thought it was just a prank. Some might have thought it was a bit much, but wouldn't have dared to do anything. Who knew who'd cast the spell? It might have been a weak magician stomping on mundanes to make him feel better about himself, or it could have been a magician strong enough to stomp anyone who got in his way. Better to walk away than risk a fight one might easily lose. Void has a point, she reflected, not for the first time. If he isn't the one to impose order, someone else will do it instead. She shook her head. There was no easy solution. Magical warlords and mundane kings would impose order, but it would be their order. Commoners might want to impose their own order, yet, without magic and weapons, it would be nothing more than the mice voting to bell the cat. And, she smiled grimly, she'd introduced better weapons, weapons anyone could use. Who knew? Perhaps the mice would turn on the cat and impose their own order on him. Get everything we need, she said as they entered the apothecary. We don't want to be coming back.
I'll make sure I get some clothes, too, Caleb said. I can't keep wearing these.
Get some robes, Emily said. She hadn't been out of school that long, and besides, some of the students looked older than she did. A simple pair of glamours could keep people from looking closely enough to realize they didn't belong. As long as we can pass for students, we should pass unnoticed.
Maybe, Caleb said.
He didn't sound convinced. There were hundreds of first to fourth year students, but only a few dozen fifth and sixth years.
But we'd be better staying completely out of sight.
Chapter 34.
Do you have everything?
Emily nodded as she checked her bag. She'd purchased it in an enchanter's shop, then improved on the spells to ensure it could carry everything she needed. The spells wouldn't last forever. Her most optimistic estimate was that they'd last a week, unless they were constantly repaired and strengthened. But they'd suffice. If she didn't manage to get into Whitehall, the mission was doomed anyway. She slung the bag over her shoulder, then brushed down her robe. It wasn't uncommon for students, particularly older students, to visit friends and family within the town. They should pass unnoticed.
Yes.
Emily shot Caleb a wink. And you?
I have everything, as planned, Caleb said. Does the house match your memories?
I think so. Emily had used memory charms just to make sure she only took the stuff she already knew she'd taken. She'd replaced the food, save for the food she'd knew she'd taken. She made a mental note to ponder the time loop later. I've cleaned the rooms and showers and everything, then checked the safe. It should be fine. She hid her doubts as best as she could, although she feared Caleb could see them regardless. They'd spent the months laying their plans and building their spells, but if only to relax, they'd spent time discussing the implications of time and interdimensional travel. Emily wasn't sure what would happen if the house they left behind didn't quite match what her past self had seen. Would her memories be altered along with the timeline? Or had they already been altered? She wished she knew what would happen if she tried jumping further and further back in time to make things right. If she had known, it would be a great deal easier to decide what to do. If the timeline is correct, Gordian should be on his way to Resolution Castle, she said. She thought they could break into the school even with the Grandmaster present, but there was no point in risking everything on one throw of the dice. We should be able to get in without being caught. She opened the door and gestured for him to step outside, then followed him into the garden and pulled the door firmly closed, snapping the remaining wards back into place. The darkening sky felt hot and dry, a grim reminder of the drought spreading over Alluvia and threatening to plunge the kingdom into anarchy. King Jorlam's days were numbered, if he wasn't already dead. She honestly wasn't sure when the king had died. It might well have been several days before she reached Freedom City. Don't think about that now, she told herself. There's nothing you can do about it. Dragon's Den seemed quieter as they made their way through the streets and onto the road leading up to the school. The guardsmen were out in force, swinging their clubs and wands. A grim reminder, she suspected, that refugees were already starting to flow in from the northern border. The town was battening down the hatches, preparing for a siege. She thought she spotted a handful of counselors holding earnest discussions outside the town hall. It was hard to be sure. She dismissed the thought as they walked past a handful of other students, tensing as the students looked at them and shrugged. It wasn't impossible the glamours would fail. It was the height of rudeness to try to peer under a glamour, particularly one crafted to make it clear the wearer wanted to be left alone. But students were known for being rude. A student with more magic than common sense might easily try to cancel her glamour. She scowled, remembering the horror stories about what happened to magicians who dressed completely in spells. They could be canceled at any moment, leaving them naked. She forced herself to focus as they reached the top of the road, an eerie sense of wrongness washing over her as they stopped and stared at Whitehall. It was so normal, as if nothing had changed since she'd left the school. There was no trace, of course, of the wildfire and the remnants of the army. The low wall marking the edge of the school's formal grounds seemed undisturbed. She pushed the sense of unreality out of her head as best as she could, as she took Caleb's hand and led him towards the gatehouse. The guards on the gate didn't pay close attention to them, but they weren't the real defenses. They were just standing there as an unsubtle reminder there were defenses. The conference attendees probably needed the reminder more than the students. The wards touched her bare skin. She braced herself, pushing the spells she'd prepared into her aura without making it obvious. Gordian couldn't have kept her out completely, not without wrecking the school. But he could have added additional wards to the outer defenses to make it harder for her to enter, or simply sound an alert in his office. Or, she reminded herself sharply that Gordian was hardly stupid, and he could call on support from some of the best magicians in the world. He'd certainly been trying to undermine her link to the wards as soon as he'd realized it was there. Sweat beaded on her back before the wards parted, allowing her to enter. Caleb's hand tightened on hers, just for a second, then relaxed. Emily held his hand gently as they kept walking forward, careful not to do anything that would sound the alarm. The students outside the school might not be paying close attention, but that could change at any moment if the glamour failed or they made a mistake. She let out a sigh of relief as they reached the main doors and stepped into the school. The wards welcomed them. She almost thought the school was pleased to see her. A wave of déjà vu pervaded her mind as she let go of Caleb and looked around. The entrance hall hadn't changed much, beyond a large painting of the first emperor being placed at the top of the staircase. She couldn't remember what had been there before, but she shrugged. Gordian was probably hoping the allied lands would remember the days they'd been united under a single emperor. She snorted at the thought. If there was one thing every king and prince would agree on, it was that they wouldn't give up a single scrap of power without a fight. Reuniting the empire would be impossible without a great deal of bloody fighting. Which is what Void is trying to do, she thought grimly. And if he isn't stopped, he might just succeed. The sense of déjà vu grew stronger as they made their way through a maze of corridors. The tutors were nowhere to be seen, as always. Emily gritted her teeth as she saw a young boy snap off a hex at a girl, turning her into a slug. He was zapped himself a second later, frozen helplessly until someone cast a counterspell, or he managed to free himself. Emily shook her head as she walked past. It was clear the games were getting out of control again. She wasn't too surprised. Gordian had never been very good at finding ways to channel student energies into more productive pursuits. Hasdrubal would have stepped in, or had his staff step in, well before matters had gotten out of hand. She sighed as she found the stairs leading down to the lower levels, the wards closing in around them as they descended. Gordian had put a handful of warning spells on the doors, but, thanks to Void, she had no trouble removing or freezing them long enough to open the way to the Nexus Point's chamber. Caleb followed, staying close. She'd warned him not to wander off, not until they'd ensure the wards wouldn't see him as an intruder. If he was caught, time would definitely be changed, and who knew what would happen then? I think... Emily paused, gathering herself as she stepped through the final door and into the Nexus chamber itself. Power billowed around her, echoing like the beating of a giant heart. She smiled, feeling the wards welcoming her, and she stared at the crystalline cylinders that rose from the depths and stretched up into the school. The Nexus chamber was a multidimensional nightmare, the power twisting in directions she couldn't comprehend as it held the school's interior firmly in place. And if something happened to the spellware... Caleb caught her arm, dragging her back to reality. Emily! Emily blinked at him, dully realizing she'd nearly walked right into the Nexus point. It was... She shook her head, then reached out with her mind. The spellware welcomed her, greeting her as the last of the founders. Gordian had been furious, she recalled, when he'd realized there was no way he could remove her from the network. She understood, but she shook her head. Gordian had been a weak man. He'd let the wolf within the fold, and the entire world had paid the price. She braced herself. Give me a moment, she said. This is tricky. Caleb held her gently as she pushed new commands into the spellware. It would have been easy to take control completely, but that would have altered time beyond repair, and she sucked in her breath. Gordian might not be able to keep her from taking control, but he'd set up spells to warn him if she tried. It took her a long moment to find the spells, then reprogram them not to send any messages to anyone. She silently gave him, or whoever he'd hired, points for imagination. The spells might not be able to stand up to her, but the mere act of removing them would be all too revealing. Void had shown her something similar. The irony made her smile as she finished her work, then disconnected her mind from the network. She'd have to come back, to add more over the next few days, but for the moment they were safe. The wards would assume they were senior teachers and treat them accordingly.
"We could do this at Heart's Eye," Caleb said as she took a step back. "We will start running out of space, sooner or later.
And if we lost control of the Nexus Point, the interior dimensions would be cut off or violently expelled," Emily reminded him. They'd been together at the time, although they hadn't slept together until after her first trip back in time. It took years to hollow out the pocket dimension here, then stabilize them to the point they could survive without the Nexus Point. Doing it at Heart's Eye, she smiled tiredly. Caleb was trying to distract her, to give her something else to think about. She appreciated the effort, but they didn't have time. The Nexus Point was still thrumming at the back of her head, a constant presence that would wear her down as long as she remained in the chamber. She squeezed his hand and led the way back outside, then down to the passageways they'd found years ago. Gordian had sealed them closed, but she had no trouble undoing the spells. He hadn't dared ask someone else for help with sealing the tunnels under Whitehall. "He had people down here, last time I visited," Emily said. She wasn't sure what had happened to that project, although if Gordian had been desperate enough to ask Void for help, it was unlikely they'd gotten very far. They'd probably assumed the wards were fairly standard, even if they did draw on a Nexus Point. They hadn't realized that the wards had literally grown until it was far too late. "If they spot us, we'll have to run."
"Understood," Caleb said.
Emily cast a night vision spell as they inched into the tunnel. They'd swept up a lot of dust, nearly 1,000 years worth of dust, when they'd opened the tunnels. But it was clear they'd barely scratched the surface. The dust was so heavily layered on the ground it looked like snow, complete with new fallen dust covering the path they'd painstakingly swept 3 years ago. Gordian didn't seem to have left anyone under the school, although it was hard to be entirely sure. The tunnels ran so deep it was impossible to search more than a tiny percentage of them.
"Interesting," Caleb said. "Did you ever figure out who made the tunnels?"
"No." Emily glanced back at him, then cast a spell to filter out the dust from her throat. "There's a tunnel network under all of the Nexus points, certainly all the points I've seen. I don't know who made them or why." "And tunnels under Mountaintop, too," her thoughts added. "But if there'd been a Nexus Point there, once upon a time, it should have reignited with the rest of them." She closed the doors behind them, then summoned a light globe. The stone walls looked as if something had melted its way through the rock, rather than using pickaxes and shovels. A handful of chambers had been used for something once upon a time, although there were a few clues left as to what that might have been. She recalled the old documents they'd recovered 3 years ago and frowned. They'd vanished into the school's collection, and she'd never had time to see them again. Perhaps there'd been clues there. Perhaps. She shook her head. It would be better to stay away from the explored parts of the tunnels. It might draw too much attention. Caleb coughed as they passed through a cloud of dust.
"Where now?"
Emily peered into the next chamber. It wasn't perfect. She would have preferred somewhere a little further from the known entrances, but it would do. She stepped inside and reached up to touch the ceiling, feeling the power of the Nexus Point echoing through the stone. The ceiling was a little low, but it had been in place for over 1,000 years. There was no reason to think it would collapse in the next few days. She tested the wards, making sure she could reach out and touch the Nexus Point spellware, then sagged in relief. They'd considered finding a place to hide within the unused chambers on the upper levels, but that would have been a constant trial. There were just too many students keen on poking their noses where they didn't belong. "I think this'll do," she said. She unslung her bag and placed it on the dusty ground. "Can you set up the wards? Make sure they're nestled within the school's wards."
"Of course."
Caleb put his bag down, then produced a wand and started to move around the chamber.
"We shouldn't have any trouble hiding down here."
Emily nodded, watching as he worked. They'd spent weeks designing the wards, although they'd had no way to know where they'd be set up. Caleb was good enough to keep the wards within the school's wards without setting off any alarms or drawing attention to the lower levels. Emily was fairly sure they'd be safe. She knew there were random flashes of magic around the Nexus Point. But Gordian was a paranoid man. He knew he could lose control of his school in an instant. He might panic first and think later.
Done.
Caleb grinned at her.
Check my work, please.
Emily reached out with her mind, testing the wards. We should be able to host a wild party here without setting off the alarms, she said. And they're not linked directly to the Nexus Point.
No, Caleb agreed. All we have to do now is make this place livable.
He smiled, but there was a sad edge to it.
My family didn't like dusting when we were younger, he said. It was just pointless. We dusted and dusted, and the dust just kept coming back. So Mother taught us a spell she claimed would make it worthwhile.
He moved his hands in an odd pattern, summoning a tiny whirlwind,
and let us have fun with it. Casper learned how to cast it properly, then turn it into a weapon. It was how he learned to be precise.
Emily watched as the dust was swept up and deposited in a corner, the whirlwind fading out as the spell came to an end. Casper had died in a Nexus Point chamber, his body blown apart by a bilocated necromancer. She wondered, despite herself, if Caleb thought he might meet the same fate. Casper and Caleb hadn't been close, but they'd been brothers. Caleb had never wanted Casper dead. She opened her bag, dug up the rug, and laid it on the ground, then sat. He was a skilled magician, she said, cursing herself as she spoke. She never knew what to say when someone was upset. He helped win the war. Caleb sat next to her.
I know, he said, but it doesn't bring him back, does it?
Emily winced. Magicians never seemed to be aware, at least at first, that actions had permanent consequences. The worst that could happen to a student at Whitehall was being expelled. She'd heard of students being kicked out for attempted murder instead of being marched straight to jail. The more normal punishment was 6 strokes of the cane, and yet, she shook her head. If she ever became a teacher, she'd make it clear to her students that they'd have to live with what they'd done.
No, she said.
She wrapped an arm around him and gave him a hug, then dug into her bag for the notebook. All we can do is live.
And get to work. Caleb said. How long do we have?
I don't know, Emily said. It might not be long enough. Chapter 35. Time crawled. Emily did her best to be patient, but even she found it hard to wait for something when she didn't have the slightest idea, save for a handful of educated guesses, when it would occur. Caleb and she spent their days weaving their own spells into the Nexus Point spellware, then reverse-engineering the spells she'd seen at Mountaintop and those enchanting protective amulets and rings to provide some measure of protection if, when, Void put the spell into place. They spent hours discussing all the possibilities, trying to forget the simple fact that time was running out. They didn't dare spend too long outside the tunnels, even when the conference was finally organized and hundreds of strangers started roaming the corridors. There was just too great a chance of being spotted.
Emily, Caleb said one evening, do you think we've changed time?
Emily had no idea. She'd done her best to follow the news. Her past self had gone to laughter, then been arrested by Master Lucknow, but it was hard to be sure. The news was full of the usual half-truths, misrepresentations, and outright lies. She knew for a fact she hadn't killed 12 mediators in single combat, but that didn't stop hundreds of students discussing the fight, a fight that had never happened. Gordian seemed keen to squash all mention of the fight, then her trial. Emily guessed he'd taken some heat from the rest of the staff. They knew she wasn't a mad animal who needed to be put down.
I hope not, she said.
She wasn't entirely sure just what had happened from the moment the conference had begun. Jen hadn't been privy to the high-level discussions between Master Lucknow and many of the other magicians, although Emily had a sneaking suspicion she'd been discussed. She felt a pang, mingled with tired regret and acceptance. If we have, she didn't want to think about it as the time grew shorter. If they'd done something, anything, to knock the timeline off its course, if they'd changed time, she told herself firmly that nothing they'd done should have changed anything. It wasn't as if they'd confronted Void directly, or told Gordian to tighten the defenses, or even made contact with their past selves. She wondered idly what she would say to herself if she ever came face to face with her future. It had been bad enough encountering the alternate version of herself. At least the future version wouldn't be a monster, she told herself. She'd just be from the future, not an alternate timeline. Her heart twisted as she glanced at Caleb. He'd been tortured by her alternate self. He knew it wasn't her fault. He'd assured her he knew they weren't the same person, but she'd heard his nightmares. Sharing a room with her wasn't so pleasant for him now. Her lips quirked at the thought, although she knew it wasn't funny. The person who tortured him had worn her face. She was surprised he'd managed to so much as give her a hug, let alone refrained from flinching from her touch. She ran her eyes down the papers, although she'd read them time and time again. The window was narrowing. Void had to be making his way to Whitehall now, unless they had changed time. She'd caught glimpses of Lady Barb in the corridors above, organizing security as more and more guests arrived. The older woman didn't seem very pleased with her work. Emily understood all too well. The guests were rude and entitled, and no one could or would bring them to heel. Gordian could put a stop to their behavior in a moment, but he was too busy politicking. Emily silently cursed him as he weaved his way in and out of heavily warded rooms, popping in and out of her awareness. A strong man in his position could have accomplished much. Gordian had been fighting for scraps of power for so long, it had never dawned on him, not really, that he'd finally made it. Jan did say things had been getting out of hand, she muttered. She eyed her nest of blankets tiredly, wondering if she should take a nap. I guess he was right. A frisson of alarm shot through the wards. She straightened, sleep banished from her mind. Void had arrived. She sat up, waving to Caleb as she peered through the spells they'd woven into the wards. She'd assumed Void would enter through a secret passageway, perhaps the one he'd caught them trying to use, but he simply strolled in through the front door. Her lips twisted in dismay as she mentally kicked herself. Void was just too powerful to be safely ignored. Of course he'd been invited. She watched him make his way through the corridors, nodding politely to Frida as she tried to steer him into one of the reception chambers. Her heart twisted as she realized Void genuinely was being polite. He'd never disliked Frida, and even if he had, he wouldn't have openly shown it. And yet he was going to bring ruin to the conference and doom upon the entire world.
Good thing we didn't try to recruit her, Caleb commented. He might have noticed something.
Emily nodded as Void hailed Gordian, and they walked into a private conference chamber, so heavily warded she couldn't hope to see inside. Void might be powerful, but he didn't have extensive estates or a small army of magicians and mundanes, not as far as anyone outside his circle knew. He wouldn't be particularly interested in border negotiations, providing they didn't impinge upon him. Besides, as far as she could tell, the negotiations weren't getting anywhere. No one wanted to give up territory, even tiny slices of land along the borders. And the aristocrats who had estates in many different kingdoms didn't want to give any of them up. The problem should have been solved decades ago, Emily mused. It would have been easy to organize swaps or compensation before the problem threatened to mushroom into war. But no one wanted to make the first trade. She forced herself to wait, despite the temptation to brush the wards aside and peer into the chamber. Gordian and Void would sense it at once, and time would change. At the very least, she reflected, they'd act together to take control of the Nexus Point, rather than Void putting a knife in Gordian's back. It felt like hours, although she knew it couldn't have been more than 30 minutes at most, before the door opened and they emerged. Gordian's face was tightly controlled, but Emily thought she could see a smile threatening to break through his calm. Void had to have offered to help him take full control of the Nexus Point. Here we go. Emily's heart was suddenly pounding in her chest. She tried not to look at Lady Barb, or everyone else who would soon be dead, or on the run. Master Lucknow was holding court in a large chamber, expounding on his own plans for a vastly expanded council and multinational authority. I'll handle the observations. You make sure you're shielded. Caleb grinned as he pulled the amulet over his forearm. I'm ready. Emily shivered, trying not to think about how their work could be so easily swept away. She couldn't keep Void from accessing the Nexus Point, not when he'd know that something had gone wrong. There was a very real chance Void would accidentally destroy their work or overwhelm both she and Caleb with the compulsion spell, winning the war without having the slightest idea as to what he'd done. She wondered what he'd think when he realized she'd dropped right off the planet. Would he waste his time looking for her, unaware that her rotting corpse was resting under Whitehall? Or would he assume she'd found a way to open a portal and return to Earth? It seemed unlikely. Void knew she had no interest in returning to Earth. Her awareness followed Gordian and Void as they made their way down to the chamber, the wards parting around them. They didn't speak, even when they thought they were alone. She sensed a faint resonance around Void, a wave of magic that was both familiar and unfamiliar. It took a moment to realize it was hers. Void would have used her blood to duplicate her magic, fudging it slightly to ensure Gordian didn't smell a rat. They were supposed to be father and daughter, not identical twins. Her lips quirked in grim amusement. Gordian was so desperate to be in sole control of his school, he probably wouldn't notice if Void's magic was exactly like hers. Perhaps he wouldn't think anything of it if he did. He certainly knew Emily had been Void's apprentice, as well as Void's presumed daughter. Their magic would seem very much alike. Gordian stopped in front of the Nexus Point. Void pulled an oversized wand from his belt. It looked more like a truncheon, and hit Gordian on the back of the head. Emily blinked in surprise as the Grandmaster folded, hitting the floor like a sack of potatoes. It was hard, very hard, not to laugh. Gordian would have noticed the wand, of course, but he'd assumed the Nexus Point would protect him from Void's magic. The idea of someone knocking him out physically would probably never have crossed his mind. Emily had to admit it was a neat solution. Why bother with something complex when you could do something simple and yet effective? Void dragged Gordian out of the chamber, then went to work. The Nexus Point shimmered around him. Emily tried not to wince as he slipped piece after piece of spellwork, her spellwork, into place, each one independent and yet part of a greater whole. He'd copied her idea of having the Nexus Point spells grow and evolve, but somehow managed to speed up the process to the point he had near complete control within seconds. The only reason he didn't manage to take complete control was the spellware she and Caleb had already installed after they'd slipped into the castle. She held her breath as the first search spell washed through the castle, picking out everything from illicit cheating aids to personal protections and defenses carried by the delegates. Gordian had let them bring a hell of a lot of weapons into the castle, even if most of them were peace-bonded. His predecessor wouldn't have stood for it. "Brace yourself," she ordered quietly. "Here we go." She sensed a compulsion spell an instant before it spun into the Nexus Point and mushroomed into an irresistible force. Void hadn't relied on brute force alone. The spell would entrance everyone within range, save for Void, making it impossible for them to realize there was even a problem. Her head ached, her defenses threatening to break under the sudden onslaught. She whimpered as needles of fire seemed to stab into her mind. Void wasn't trying to attack her directly. If he'd brought the full power of the Nexus Point to bear, her brain would have turned to mush. But it was bad enough. She'd thought she was prepared for it. Everyone else. Her awareness followed Void's as he peered through the wards, his mind flitting from chamber to chamber. An eerie silence had fallen over the school. Students stood in the corridors or sat in their rooms, utterly unmoving. The staff and the conference attendees were frozen, minds blanked by the sheer force of the spell. She caught a glimpse of Master Lucknow and Jan, both entranced, as well as hundreds of others she didn't know. They'd have a chance to escape when her past self entered the school. And she clenched her fists. Lady Barb was up there too. Emily could try to save her. A dozen ideas ran through her mind, from replacing Lady Barb with a mimic to using illusions to fake her death. Perhaps she could even use a Nexus Point to teleport Lady Barb out of the castle, but she knew it wouldn't work. Void had near complete control now. It would take hours, at best, for them to subvert his work. If they hadn't set up the spellwork ahead of time, it would be impossible. "I'm sorry," Emily muttered. Lady Barb had been the closest thing she'd had to a real mother. She'd been strict, yet Emily had never doubted Lady Barb had had her best interests at heart. "I'm sorry." She didn't realize she'd spoken aloud until Caleb put his hand on hers.
"It's all right, really."
Emily shook her head. It wasn't all right. It had been bad enough watching when Lady Barb had been killed the first time, but she knew, even if she didn't want to admit it, that she hadn't had a chance to do anything. Now, the urge to change time was almost overwhelming. She cursed herself savagely for not thinking of something. Void would have noticed if Lady Barb had been replaced when he'd scanned the school, and who knew what that would have done. And yet, she asked herself, helplessly, if Sergeant Miles would have lived longer if Lady Barb had lived. She leaned into Caleb and forced herself to watch as Void continued his work. The students were largely ignored, save for a handful with powerful relatives. He seemed to prefer to concentrate on the attendees, reprogramming a handful of them before sending them out to cause trouble across the Allied lands. Emily spotted Mariah's brother amongst the throng, his face curiously blank. Her head spun as she tried to follow the time loop. From her point of view, all of Mariah's brothers, and her future husband, were already dead. Poor girl, Emily thought. If she isn't pregnant... The wards quivered again as her past self entered the school. A shiver ran down her spine as Emily watched her younger self moving through the corridors, pausing long enough to free Jan and Lady Barb from the enchantment, before making her way down to the Nexus chamber. Her lips twisted as she forced herself to look away, suddenly unsure what would happen if, when, Void used the library card to bind her past self. They were the same person, if at different points along the timeline. It was quite possible the spell would strike both of them at the same time. Tears prickled in her eyes. She rubbed them, unwilling to watch and yet unable to look away as Void explained what he was doing, then enchanted her past self, then, finally, had his brief fight with Lady Barb. Emily watched her past self run for her life, grabbing Jan an instant before she teleported out. Void didn't have time to go after her. He was too busy trying to round up the remaining attendees, then put the enchantment back into place. Master Lucknow teleported out too, an instant before it was too late. Emily silently applauded him. He might have loathed her. He might have tried to put her in front of a kangaroo court in hopes of fast-tracking her execution. But at least he'd managed to put a spoke in Void's wheels. And yet, he's going to die at my hands, Emily thought. She brushed the tears aside as Void's power rushed through the school. His plans had been disrupted, there was no doubting it. But he'd made enough contingency plans to recover and resume his conquest. She knew he was sending out his enhanced soldiers to take castles and mansions, all the while putting bounties on everyone who stood in his way. And her heart twisted once again. She couldn't do anything overt, not yet. She had to wait for him to be stunned when his bilocated self was vaporized. It would give them a window of opportunity, a chance to take action and link up with allies. She looked at the piles of supplies, hoping they'd last long enough. If they didn't. "We have to wait," she said. Caleb's arm was still around her. "And keep our heads down until he's distracted." Caleb smiled.
"And what do you want to do while we wait?"
Emily hesitated, seeing his smile grow wider. They'd worked together so closely that it was suddenly easy to remember why they'd become lovers the first time around. She'd enjoyed sharing ideas with him, bouncing concepts back and forth, until they became something they could turn into workable spellware. And he'd grown up a little since she'd begun her apprenticeship. She wondered if he felt the same about her. He hadn't tried to get into her room, let alone her underwear. But then a magician, someone raised within the magical community, wouldn't. She looked up at him, then, on impulse, leaned forward and kissed him. Caleb didn't hesitate. He kissed her back, his arms tightening around her. Emily knew it could be a mistake to make love to him, given how they'd fallen out the first time around. But she wanted to feel human again. She felt his hand slipping down her back as she pushed him onto the blanket, straddling him. It was suddenly very hard to slip off her clothes without tearing something. She gasped as she felt his touch on her bare skin. It might not last, she told herself afterwards. The shared danger that bound them together would be gone if they won the war. She hadn't forgotten the way he'd looked at her when she'd put defeating the threat ahead of saving his sister's life. She didn't blame him, even though his look had hurt. But for the moment, it will do. Chapter 36. It should be happening soon, Emily said. She'd spent the last 2 weeks grimly cataloging everything Void had done, from drawing blood from students to create more super soldiers, to sending out agents to take control of vast swaths of the Allied lands. He was readying his men to go to Resolution Castle. Caleb nodded from where he lay on the blanket. Emily grinned. It had been nice to have someone in her bed, although they'd only spent a little time making love. She still wondered, in the privacy of her own mind, if their new relationship was nothing more than the result of stress and hormones. It wasn't as if either of them could take a break, not now. Void had sealed the castle so tightly there was no hope of getting out without being caught. She suspected he'd lied when he'd told her that his brother had discovered the secret passageway. It might have been spotted when he'd swept his awareness over the entire school. If they hadn't taken so many precautions, he might have spotted them, too. She frowned, her fingers itching to touch the chat parchments. She'd checked in on Frida from time to time, but the younger girl had been doing nothing more than robotically getting up, attending classes, eating dinner, and going back to bed. Void had left her and the other older students alone, without drawing their blood for his super soldiers. Emily could see his logic. The older and more powerful students might start questioning the enchantment, eventually breaking it, if they had their blood drawn regularly. But she hated it. He'd told her he'd managed to find a way to improve the process, to create enhanced troops without butchering unwilling victims. Yet, she felt sick just thinking about it. No wonder it had been so rare to encounter enhanced humans. There weren't many magicians who'd give away their blood. Caleb sat up and reached for a sheet of paper. Emily watched him, feeling a surge of affection before the fear returned. They were running out of time, and yet they could do nothing. Not yet. She feared, despite everything, that Void knew where they were and what they'd done. She feared he was just biding his time, waiting for her to get back to the future before springing his trap. It was the one nightmare that nothing, from joint research to sex, could banish from her mind. If he was waiting for her, he has no way to know that you've traveled in time, she told herself. And if he knew you were lurking under the school, he'd have grabbed you by now. The thought was reasonable, logical. The cave was well hidden, and the tunnels were practically designed to make it hard to find anything. But she feared what the Nexus Point could do. Void might notice a tiny section of the network was a little too quiet, a little too perfect, without even the flashes of wild magic that came and went, seemingly at random, around the Nexus Point. He was a researcher as well as everything else, a man who might allow himself a moment to explore something curious. If he found them, he'd break through their defenses easily, and then they'd be forced into a fight they might well lose. She glanced up sharply as the wards shivered and alert. Void had been hurt. She peered through the wards into the Grand Master's office. She saw Void, hands clutched to his head as he sat at the desk. His other self had been vaporized, the shock so great it had burnt through his wards and weakened his defenses. She briefly entertained the idea of hurrying to the office to dispose of him before he recovered, but she knew it wouldn't work. He'd survived long enough to kill Sergeant Miles and hurl a small army of monsters at them. Instead, she touched one of the chat parchments. It was time. Good luck, Caleb said. Emily nodded, reaching through the chat parchment to its counterpart. Frida hadn't so much as touched any of her parchments as far as Emily could tell, even though chatting to her boyfriend and the rest of her friends had been something she'd done every day. It was a shame, Emily reflected, that Tobin had set off on another dig. They could have used his chat parchments to try to make contact earlier, before they knew about the chat parchments. But there'd been no way to find him. Her awareness blossomed, a torrent of feelings pressing down on her. Frida was already starting to question the world around her, although it wasn't easy. The enchantment was designed to redirect and suppress her thoughts, making it impossible to remember, let alone learn from, every time her mind had brushed up against her chains. And yet, Emily felt a flicker of pride. Frida was tough. She was pushing forward, trying to break the enchantment, trying to remember, if nothing else, that the enchantment was there. The shy girl she'd met 6 years ago had grown into a powerful sorceress who took nothing for granted. Frida's fingers touched the parchment. Emily's mind brushed against hers. There was a flurry of impressions, followed by shock and horror. Emily hastily divided her attention and reached through the wards, isolating Frida's room. If she stepped too far out of line, if she did something not covered by the spell, she might trigger an alarm. Void was in no state to do anything about it, but she had no way to know what contingency plans he might have programmed into the wards. He might easily have ordered them to freeze Frida in time, or worse, if her behavior veered too far from the norm. Don't move, Emily said. She was swaying. No, Frida was swaying, as the full enormity of the spell crashed down on her. Frida took it calmly for someone who'd been enchanted so completely she'd lost before she'd been aware she was in a fight. But then, she knew she could lose. Dater and his peers liked to think themselves invincible. Take a deep breath. Calm yourself. Frida's thoughts spun. Emily? It wasn't clear if she was speaking or thinking. What happened? I'm coming, Emily said. Stay in your room. I'll be there as quickly as possible.
She shared a look with Caleb as she disconnected herself from the chat parchment, then picked up the protective spells and headed for the exit. The wards grew stronger, the enchantment probing in her mind, as soon as she stepped into the tunnels themselves. But they'd studied the spell enough to be sure they could protect themselves. Void, hopefully, wouldn't think to check to make sure everything was working, given that he thought himself to be the only unaffected person within the school. She had to admire his skill. Frida had been very lucky to free as much of herself as she had before her memories were stolen once again.
And who's to say, Emily thought numbly. If she didn't free herself time and time again, only to be enslaved again within seconds.
She put the thought out of her mind as she passed the Nexus Chamber and started to make her way up the servant staircases. They'd been heavily warded, mainly to protect the caretaking staff from the students. A sizable number of students, Emily had discovered over the years, either gave the staff a wide berth or forgot they even existed. Void wasn't that careless, she was sure. But as long as she didn't look too closely, she could use the servant corridors to get around the school. She tested the wards to be sure as she reached the upper floor, then stepped into the corridor. It felt eerie, as if someone were standing right behind her. She forced herself to keep going. There wasn't any time to delay. The doorway into the sixth-year bedrooms was open, something that would never have happened normally. She felt a twinge of unease as she stepped into the corridor and walked down to Frieza's room. She'd half expected her to be given the smallest room at the end of the corridor. Gordian was a petty man, fully capable of blaming Frida for everything. But instead, she was midway down the corridor. Emily braced herself, tested the wards again, then opened the door. Frida was sitting on the bed, waiting.
Emily!
Frida's face cracked into a tired smile.
What's happening?
Emily passed her a protective amulet.
Put this on, she ordered.
She could still feel the enchantment clawing at her mind, despite her modified wards. Frida looked as if she was on the verge of falling asleep, which would give the enchantment a chance to take control and erase her brief memories of freedom.
It'll give you some protection.
Frida started the moment the amulet touched her skin.
What happened to us?
It's a long story.
Emily closed the door, then sat on the bed.
The school is in enemy hands.
She gritted her teeth, then ran through the whole story. Frida stared, her expression making it clear she wouldn't have believed the tale if the story had come from someone, anyone else. The last time she'd seen Emily, it had been before the end of the Necromantic War. She'd had no reason to think Void was anything more than Emily's master and father figure. She had no reason to believe he was behind the chaos that had gripped the Allied lands. And she'd been so sheltered at Whitehall that she might not even have heard more than a handful of rumors before the school was enchanted. Emily wasn't sure how much, if anything, Gordian had told his students. She wouldn't have put it past him to tell them nothing. Frida swallowed and started again.
Emily, what do we do?
Emily allowed herself a moment of relief. She trusted Frida, but Frida had been under an enchantment for weeks. Void could have programmed a trap into her mind, or, hell, he could have tried to convince her he was in the right. Frida had had a terrible childhood, then an awful experience at Mountaintop. Her time at Whitehall hadn't been perfect either. She might like the idea of a single authority with the power and will to enforce the laws. Void could have won her over with a little effort. Emily wasn't sure why he hadn't tried. As long as she was enchanted, with no clear awareness of what happened to her, he might have felt she could be ignored for the moment, Emily thought. He has a lot of other problems. She gave Frida a hug.
How many of the other sixth-year students do you trust?
Frida looked doubtful.
There's 30 in all, she said. I trust...
Her lips twisted.
Perhaps 10 of them? Mostly the boys, that's all.
Emily nodded. Frida really hadn't had an easy time of it. Emily knew it would have been harder for her if her peers hadn't thought she was Void's daughter. Frida had no such protection, even though the Necromancer's Bane was a close personal friend. And coming from Mountaintop, she had a number of habits that made her stand out from the rest of her year. Emily understood, better than she cared to admit. Mean girls could be more dispiriting than jerk jocks. If nothing else, it was harder to get away from the girls.
We need to break the spells on them, Emily said. And then we need to get ready.
She explained, quickly, what she and Caleb had done to the wards. They should be able to pass unnoticed, as long as they were careful not to draw attention to themselves.
The wards wouldn't spot them, but they'd signal an alert to their master if they ran into something they couldn't handle. Emily wasn't sure where the threshold was. Void would have to be careful not to set it too low, or he'd be dealing with false alarms all the time. But there was no point in taking chances. A rogue flash of magic in the corridors, the students were no longer hexing each other in passing, would be enough to draw his attention. Clever, Frida said. But we're going to have to practice magic. I think we can clear and reprogram one of the spell chambers, Emily said. The students might be attending lectures, but they weren't practicing magic outside their classrooms. She wondered idly if Void would bother to hold the final exams. Probably not. Frida and her peers would have to retake the year when the war was over, but it might have to wait until we catch up with ourselves. She stood, brushing down her robes. Don't do anything, anything at all, to anyone you see who's still under the enchantment, she said. If the spell can't work out what to do, it'll sound the alarm. Frida grinned suddenly.
You mean I'm not allowed to sneak up behind Lydia and shout boo very loudly?
I don't think she'd notice. Emily couldn't remember Lydia, but that was meaningless. She'd never paid close attention to any of the younger students, save for the one she'd had to mentor in her fifth year. One of Gordian's better ideas, she conceded privately. You could shout as loud as you liked and she wouldn't hear you. She opened the door and stepped back into the corridor. A pair of young men walked towards and past her, their eyes blank. Emily watched them go, noting the complete lack of swagger. The enchantment was wearing them down. She glanced at Frida, who looked more than a little unnerved, then led the way after the young men. The school was eerily quiet. It felt deserted, even though there were hundreds of staff and students within the building. She tested the wards time and time again. It didn't look as though they'd set off any alarms. Giles sleeps in there, Frida said, pointing to a door. Someone had drawn a large pig-like creature just above the doorknob. He's one of the good guys. Emily nodded, then checked for surprises before she tried to open the door. There were none, not even a simple aversion ward. It felt so open, so defenseless, that she was sure they were about to walk straight into a trap. And yet, she shrugged as she pushed the door open and peered into the darkened room. Void didn't want his victims trying to protect themselves from their fellow students. They might accidentally free themselves from his spell. The room was warm, the air dry. She saw a young man lying on the bed, arms crossed over his chest as he stared up at nothing. He showed no sign of awareness they were there, let alone that they were close enough to hex or curse or simply put a knife in him. Emily swallowed hard. Behind her, she was aware of Frida hanging back, and reached out with her magic, subverting the wards before slipping another amulet out of her belt and touching it against Giles's bare skin. He started up with a very undignified yell, as if he'd been woken from a dream. His magic threatened to spike as his eyes shot from side to side, finally lighting on Emily and Frida. Emily heard a giggle behind her and tried to hide her own amusement. It wasn't the time.
Frida?
Giles sounded more like a merchant's son than an aristocrat, although there were definite hints of a magical accent within his voice.
What?
Stay still, Emily advised. She should have expected a violent reaction. They'd been far too close to the poor boy, and he hadn't known they were there.
You've had a bit of a shock.
Giles stared at her, his eyes widening in recognition.
Lady Emily!
Stay still, Emily repeated. He'd probably paid more attention to her when she'd been head girl than she'd paid to herself. What's the last thing you remember? Giles broke off in confusion. Emily had studied the spell carefully. She knew his memories would be a jumbled mess. Void had crafted the spell in hopes that, when it lifted, the victims would never realize they'd been enchanted at all.
I was at the conference and—
You mean you were serving drinks and kissing ass, Frida put in. You weren't speaking at the tables or—
Emily held up a hand before the younger students could start arguing. You were under a spell, she said bluntly. Giles wouldn't want to admit it, but there was no way to avoid the truth.
And you have to join us now.
She ran through a brief explanation, then told him how to evade detection as long as they were careful. Giles looked terrified when he realized just who had taken over the school, but he didn't ask any useless questions. Emily allowed herself a moment of relief. She was so aware that Void wasn't her father that she found it hard to accept that others believed he was. A child turning against their parent. Unacceptable. She made a mental note to keep a careful eye on her new allies. They wouldn't need to do much if they wanted to betray her. A single spell outside of the servant corridors might be enough to trigger the alarms. "We'll wake up the rest of the trustworthy students," Emily said, "and then we'll start making plans to strike." Frida glanced at her. "Why not strike now?"
"Because the army isn't in place," Emily said, all too aware Giles was listening too. "If we fight alone, he'll win."
She took a breath, trying to convey how serious things had become.
"And that," she added after a moment, "will be the end of the world."